This weekend, I will be in Aspen, Colorado. Woo, baby. I've never skied before, but I might just do it. Pray for me, because I am bad on my feet, balance-wise. I've sprained my ankle getting out of Ubers. Have you? I'm going to be performing as a part of the Aspen Comedy Festival at the Wheeler Opera House tomorrow night with Taylor Tomlinson and Dusty Slay. I cannot wait. Wheeler Opera House, Aspen, Colorado. Get your tickets. AspenComedyFestival.com. Trevor Noah's there. Norm MacDonald's there. And I'm there tomorrow night, Wheeler Opera House. I believe the show is 7:30 or 8. Bring your snow gloves and your mitten hats and your furries. Because bring your, I meant like your fur coat for the cold, but bring your furry costume. Cause, you know, who knows? I might just pull you out of the crowd and so that everyone can see a guy dressed as a bunny and a girl dressed as a chipmunk, 69 on stage. That's Wheeler Opera House tomorrow night in Aspen, Colorado. And then next week, oh boy, I can't wait. Coming to the Claw, Enumclaw, Washington, February 29th at 8 p.m. at the Chalet Theater. Get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. And then, of course, the week after, I'm in San Fran at the Punchline, March 4th through the 7th. All those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. All right. You guys feeling good? Me too. Callers up. Let's start the show.
I love it. I love
podcasting.
Oh my God.
Dude. Yeah, this is a new thing for you, right?
Yeah, dude, I've been an actor for a billion years and it's just, you know, it's fine. But I get to sit in the living room and not put makeup on or do any wardrobe or anything.
You can still put makeup on even when you're just hanging out at your house. I don't know
That's a different type of a situation.
Yeah.
Wear heels.
Or heels? Yeah, Mike, do you wear makeup?
I don't need to.
Did you happen to notice the other day when we were at Lights Out that Connor was wearing full makeup?
Was he?
He had yellow and purple.
I think he might be doing what like our boy Chris D'Elia painted his.
He's coming on our show, actually.
Is he? Just, with Matt?
Yeah, with his brother.
Fuck yeah. Sibling
revelry.
Revelry?
Yeah.
So I thought
Mike just learned a new word.
It's the play on words, man.
It's a play on words, yeah.
Right.
But I think it's that thing about like, you know, he paints his fingernails black, which, you know, I don't know. You get to a point too where you're just like, once Chris started doing a handful of things, I was like, I think you're at that level where you're this respected and this cool that you can just like, because I saw for a second and went like, what? And then I was like, hey, fucking Chris, you make it work.
But, he's allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So he, I think Chris seems like he could maybe pull that off.
Totally. I think also like it's been shown publicly that if you get in some sort of like squabble with him on the internet or even like, it seems like more of a fate that he'll probably squash you. I'm talking about Logan Paul, but I think if you were to just maybe like make a comment to his face, I think he'd probably like let it fall off the shoulders. But do you have tattoos?
I have a few, yeah.
Fuck.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
I want more.
You do?
I do. I'm sort of late in the game. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of like not a cool thing anymore, but I actually want tattoos to commemorate. I've got three kids. I have a plan.
So now there's like
but
an
now
emotional.
I feel like an asshole a little bit getting tattoos.
When was
everyone fucking has tattoos?
Totally.
Now, you know what I mean?
What was the year for tattoos, do you feel like? When it was like just real cool?
Oh, I mean, I think like in the last 5-7 years, everyone seems to have tattoos. I mean, it's been ongoing, obviously. My first one was cool, actually, though. It's my mom's 60th birthday.
Whoa.
We were all in Tahiti, and we went to this remote place in the middle of the forest, the jungle. And there was a dude back there who was doing old school tattooing.
Yes.
And we all got tattoos for my mother's 60th birthday, including my mom, including Kurt, you know. And then my brother and I got the same tattoo on our back in Tahitian. You know,
damn.
And I threw up. Some shit
happened.
Because
it wasn't the Tahitian word.
No, I don't know. I was like, oh, I'm cool. And then I was sitting there and I was leaning up against the chair and he started in. And for whatever reason, some sort of a nerve situation, I just got sick, throwing up over the balcony in the jungle.
Jesus.
So it is a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like there was a time when tats, even like your doctor, like would be cupping your balls and you look down and see his hand, you're like, nice tattoo, doc. Mm-hmm. And like you didn't bat an eye about it. Mm-hmm. It was just, but you're right, now it does seem like more people are, what's that?
You had a doctor with a tattoo on his hand?
No, I'm just saying if that happened.
Dr. Feelgood?
Mark can't talk for a second? Yeah,
Dr. Feelgood. Well, tattoos used to mean something, right? I mean, I feel like when you saw someone with tattoos, it exemplified some part of their personality.
Now it's like a Facebook page.
Well, now it's like it doesn't matter. Like you could have, you know, someone who is a virgin who's got tattoos all over
me when you say that.
Because you're the confidence. Host. I have a friend. His name is Mitch. Who's got fucking tattoos all over his body. You would think from afar this guy is scary. He is the most docile.
Wow.
You know, too much so. I'm like, Mitch, you got to find your balls, buddy. Yeah. Like that kind of a guy.
Do you think the tats are to like overcompensate for his
maybe
lack of just
maybe
fucking flexibility?
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe he contracted hepatitis, getting him all. He can't really raise his hands too good. He's like,
could be that too.
He's like, you know what? I'm kind of sick. I'll just be chill from now on.
So you and Kate started your podcast pretty recently.
Yeah. It's been just only about 3 months.
What's great about it too is that, and I've listened to a handful of eps, the one with Bobby and Steve is pretty special just because Bobby's the first guy to take me on the road and really kind of took stand up up a notch for me.
Oh, great.
And I've seen Bobby's penis more than I've seen my own.
I've seen, same with me. I've only known him for a couple years too.
Isn't that crazy? And I thought it was just on stage, but it turns out it's on set too, maybe, right?
Oh yeah, his dick is everywhere, and it's got different. It's like a three-tone dick,
totally. And there's something about it that's not like abrasive. Like you don't feel like telling anybody if he like rubs it on you because you're like it's kind of an adorable little you know. Yeah. I don't know why I did that with my fingers, but it's definitely like it's not threatening. It's
definitely not threatening.
No, like Bobby's a very non-threatening penis.
Yeah,
for sure.
He knows that. He loves that. It's having a podcast with a theme. I think you have to have something with a different take, obviously. Mm-hmm. And
well, everyone's fucking doing it now. I mean, it's like everyone has discovered that there is potential. There's potential money to be made.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean.
You guys got built-in followings like you do, and the cachet. But then you like found a really cool niche.
Yeah,
to have it be you know, a bro sis thing, only interviewing other siblings.
Yeah, it was dope. It was. I thought that it was just going to be something really fun to do. You know, as far as the money went, I was like, great. If it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. My sister and I get to do something where we can work together, which we've never done. And it was going to be fun and funny, but it touched on a few nerves, which has been nice. You know?
Even for you guys.
Oh, shit. I mean, her and I are sort of, you know, closer than we've ever been, for sure.
Wow.
I find it easier to be more expressive or even vulnerable with her and honest with her about how I feel when I'm on mic for some weird fucking reason. I don't know why. Like I feel okay.
Audio
sort
therapy,
of.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange, but you know, and just all the comments, and we have a submissions email where people can write in, and you know, there's a lot of fucking siblings and a lot of people who are not talking, and I think it's a topic that's underexplored, so that's why we sort of set out to do it. And it's been fun.
Oh yeah, it's killer. Is there and you're working with our mutual friend Sim, who's just you know a fucking genius and juggernaut in the podcast world.
He really is.
Does it have to be famous siblings?
Because no.
I'm kind of not really famous, and my sister isn't at all, but she does think you're super hot. And when I told her you were coming in today, she was like, I'm jumping on a plane. And I was like, you're married. She's like, who says who?
No, man, it can be anyone. I mean, it's just, again, it's what we are feeling. You know, we've also had like experts on and people who we're interested in. You know, we've got, you know, who's coming on who I'm really excited about is there's John Hopkins University. You know, this is not even flashy, but in my world, I like it. John Hopkins has finally, they've had grants now to study psilocybin like they used to in the 50s, right?
Whoa.
In the 50s, there was a lot going on. The sort of counterculture took over LSD and mushrooms and sort of put it on the map in a bad way.
Right.
But there's a lot of benefits from all that. And we now have a doctor coming on who is sort of leading these studies, who knows more about mushrooms and LSD and psilocybin.
Yeah, they're trying to legalize shrooms, aren't they?
Well, in few places there already is. In Denver, shrooms are legal. And I think somewhere up north in Cali, they're now legal.
I'll be honest. I had some of the most uniquely filled conversations with Daddy Longlegs when I was on mushrooms. I wish I was joking. You know, I saw the future. I saw the past. I dealt with a breakup on him, but all very coherently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Did it make me like the Dave Matthews Band more? Yeah, but that's because I was staring into the eyes of the sun while my friend was splashing his big feet in a lake. I'm sorry, a creek, saying, you got to soak up as much creek as possible. You never know when it's going to be creek season again. To this day, one of the funniest things I've ever heard on shrooms.
That's amazing.
Shout out to Michael Terranova. And do you want to... it's so cool that you and your sis, it's one of those things that's bringing you guys closer together.
Yeah.
It's funny to me that you say you guys never jammed on something together because, I mean, and you've talked about this before, but a pretty special thing to grow up in like a family of that magnitude and with that much shit going on.
Yeah.
I think you have spoken to it's being like a cool benefit to be on set. It's probably helped as you got older to be an actor, right? Because you were just familiar with everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But were there, is it tough to even look back and be like, oh, I wish I had a childhood that wasn't in the Hollywood limelight, or was it always just so fun that there's no...
Well, I mean, look, it's circumstantial, right? I mean, I was just, this is how I was born, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. My parents, it was their job to do the best that they could to bring us back down to some sort of reality. Christmases were great, you know, I mean...
Keep it normal.
Keep it normal. Inside the family, in the house, it was as normal as it got, you know what I mean? And it was...
What about at school and stuff? How many people were like, dude, you fucking...
Yeah, dude, well, no.
Russell, dog.
It was crazy. My thing was is I railed against that. I didn't want anyone to know who my family was.
Wow.
I wanted to try to make my own way. I didn't want people liking me for, you know, who my parents were. And that started at a very, very early age.
Fuck,
you know?
That's crazy.
But I had to deal with that shit all my life. I still do, you know, but you become like a master, you know. I mean, it built my intuition. You know, I feel like I can read people better than most because I've had to.
You've seen every version of people, right, coming at you.
Yeah, and then sometimes you fail, and then those failures, you even build up more of sort of those intuitive calluses where now it's like, oh shit, okay, now I know who you are. Now this is what something to look out for. You can get jaded by it.
Right. How would you see that highlighted with kids? Because that's fascinating where it's like a kid picks you first in kickball, even though you've clearly got a bum leg that day. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, oh, dude, come on, Oliver. You've always had this competitive spunk.
Oh, he's out the park.
Right, yeah, right. And then you fucking get on the sidelines and you're about to go up to bat. And he's like, hey, I got a Captain Ron DVD that I was wondering if you could die. And you're like, oh, that's why you fucking picked me. Like, how would you see kids?
And then I just break down crying. Like, I thought you liked me for my skills. Not Captain Ron.
Yeah.
Speaking of DVDs, it'd be VHS.
It would be right VHS. Back then. CAVHS. For sure. Close to even beta. But no.
My question, did y'all get whoopings?
Oh, yeah.
They whooped y'all?
Not too much, but Kurt and my mom, like, you know, they were, they believed in discipline, you know, but nothing crazy, but, you know, it was like...
Today,
I have three kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, we live in this progressive world right now in Los Angeles, which a lot of it is great. You know, some of it, I think, though, we need a little bit more discipline. I think a lot of these kids are just running wild.
Because they didn't have an ass whooping.
No, exactly. And parents, I think, are too scared even to raise their voices, even to just say, look, I'm the man. I'm the authority. You know, you are not. You don't get to just piss on everything. I get to piss on everything because it's my house, you know.
So, you don't get to wet your bed. I get to pee in your bed, and you got to sleep in it.
Absolutely.
That's right.
My father's 70 years old. I'm still scared of him.
Yeah.
I can fuck him up, but still scared.
Well, see, I'm not sure I could fuck my dad up yet. I don't know. Kurt, he's pushing 70, but he's a bulldog, dude. Like, that guy, I wouldn't want to step toe-to-toe.
Have you ever worked out with him?
Yeah. No.
Is there anything that he beat you at, and then you got older and you beat him, like you beat him in basketball?
Yeah, well, yes.
Did he let you?
No.
Okay.
No, there are certain things that I could take him, you know, but he was a professional baseball player.
That's right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, it was great, dude. This is a great, you know, funny story. I played varsity baseball.
Nice.
There was this kid named Gilly. He was a pitcher, and he was a punk. He was just a loudmouth dick. His name was Gilly. And Kurt came to sort of help out with these practices, you know, because he really knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a pro ball player. And he could, and he was helping our team a little bit. Gilly started to fuck with Kurt and start to badmouth him and calling him old man and you can't hit me, the whole thing. Kurt was ignoring it for a minute and I was like, oh shit, don't poke the bear too much because this could get bad. He pushed his button one too many times. Kurt's like, all right, let's go, you little punk. And then Gilly steps up on the mound. And now I'm nervous because I don't want my dad to look like an asshole and get smoked. Dude. But it did not turn out that way. I mean, everything he threw at Kurt, slap over the opposite field. And then Kurt starts calling his shit, like, you want me to pull one deep?
No way.
Boom. Yeah. What else, Gilly? What else
babe
you got,
right here?
Bitch? And now he's, yeah, and by the way, this is a high school kid. This kid's 15, 16 years old, but he's now,
he
Gilly, my dad now is talking to him like he's in his 20s, saying, if you want to step to me, you're going to feel the wrath, right. And I'm not going to be easy on you because you're 15.
Right.
Then he starts like just cursing and sort of saying, fuck you, this, and that, calling his shots.
I love your dad.
Oh, dude, he's the best.
Did this kid not see Tombstone? Yeah, yeah. The train scene? I called down the thunder. What was the line?
that's right.
There's some lines.
I was a proud son. I mean,
I'm a proud son.
I was proud. I was like, yeah, fuck you, Gilly.
That's right. Hell yeah.
How much of being around the business at that age, too, did you always want to be an actor, or was it just kind of like the world looked too dope?
No, I was, you know, I wanted to make movies. That's what I did. You know, I was, when my sister was doing plays and stuff, I was making movies every weekend with my friends across the street. I had cameras and filters and squibs. And, you know, back then, dude, you could buy blank Berettas like out of the mail. So we had like an arsenal of real guns that just shot blanks at the age of 12 and 13 years old.
So the fun home movies you're making with.
Oh, it was crazy.
You still have any of those tapes?
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, we used to do shit because we wanted the squib to explode, but we couldn't afford like, you know, a real actual situation.
Oh, yeah.
So we would get fireworks and we would create blood packs with Ziploc bags and mixed blood and water, put them underneath the wardrobe and cut a little hole in it, and then put these fucking like weren't M80s, but they were just below
that blood
right here. And then we'd light it and roll the camera and fucking run. And then the actor would be, you know, sitting there, the thing burning. And you could see him. It was usually me or my friend, like, oh, fuck, it's going to explode. Trying to, like, play.
Quit improvising, Oliver.
Trying to play a scene. And then, boom, it blows up. You're like, oh, fuck.
I mean, I love it. Innovative.
Now,
we used to do all kinds of crazy, crazy things.
Was the story, was it always in context with the story? Or was it just, like, an excuse to
just
see
to
that
blow
effect?
People up.
We got like a rom-com at a dinner scene.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Then his heart fucking explodes.
Oh, dude, we didn't do anything that didn't involve gore, blood, squibs, firecrackers.
What is it with, like, I mean, it's probably a dude thing, right? Yeah. Because I remember when Mortal Kombat came out, I was like, the world is changing for the better.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, and I don't remember not knowing and one dude that wasn't just like next day at school, like, dude, and if you do left, right, F, then you can pull his head off and actually shove it in his ass and then call up his ex and you fuck her in front of him. It's crazy. Yeah. And you're like, Jesus Christ. Like,
well,
somebody,
I mean,
shows you the cheat code, put the blood code on. Oh, yeah. Like,
the blood code?
Yeah, the blood code's because Sega Genesis, they had a regular.
Yeah.
And then you had to put the blood code in and then you could do the fatalities and everything else. But
damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the thing between NES and Nintendo and
the blood
code? Sega.
Yeah, the blood code.
Do you let your kids play games?
Yeah, dude, I have a different way of parenting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, my kids watch rated R movies. I curse in front of them. I have
love
no problem cursing in front of them. I say, look, I curse, you don't. And that's just the way it is. I'm an adult. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes anymore. But when I was smoking cigarettes, I quit a year ago. I'm not hiding them. I'm like, I fucking smoke, and you shouldn't. But this is my life. Dad, don't smoke. I'm like, you guys, I know it's bad, but I'm an adult. You know, I have cocktails in front of my kids. I won't smoke weed in front of my kids. Like, I won't like actually light up a joint in front of the kids. But I smoke in my room though, and they know what the smell is. Yeah. When they're of age, they're gonna be like, oh shit, that's what he was doing my entire life. You know what I mean?
You can tell that, you know, when they know you're smoking pot or when they smell it, when you get knocks on your door at like 3 a.m. and they're like, can we make Totino's pizza rolls? You're like, why do you want those all of a sudden?
And when you have three with the first one, you're always sort of trying to figure out how it all goes down and what to show your kids when. And by the third one, who's my little girl, who's six, I mean, she's seen the most gnarly shit on TV. You know, she's watching horror films and, I mean, and she's fine. You know, she's fine. I think that we coddle our kids a little too much.
Oh, 1,000%. Even my 5-year-old nephew, who will bitch slap my 10-year-old nieces sometimes, like with a lot of conviction and, and compassion. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, passion. And he just fucking will passionately bitch slap them. And then nobody really, like, they kind of, you know, scold him, but not in a way to where you can tell he's not really like, yeah, so what? I did it. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you going to do? You know? Yeah. And so I'll sometimes, like, really try to be bad cop and know that, you know, and my mom's always like, you're so scary to him. Mm-hmm. He's only been on the planet for 5 years. His voice is so, your voice is so booming to him. I'm like, but none of you guys are like making him think that that's truly wrong. Cause they're just kind of like, Jackson, hey, stop. But it's like, dude, with the, some of the sounds that a 5 year old is capable of creating from a, from his sister's face is fucking bonkers.
I coddle my kids so much. I haven't had him yet. And that was not the type of environment he should be in.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Man, it's good to be back. And you know what? The best part about being back is sharing the goodies with you, the fans. I love candles, okay? You know from listening to this podcast, we've always had candles living around the apartment and now my new place. And I'm tired of buying the bullshit candles from the store. I want some personal touch. I want something handmade. So that's why I found Hangover Candle Company. That's right. Homemade by a bartender in Fort Collins, Colorado. He's a big comedy fan, podcast fan, reached out, said, I love the pod, would love to send you some candles. I'm like, I'm not comfy giving you my address. He's like, come on, trust me. I was like, all right, let's roll the dice. Boom. Now I've got fucking 40 different flavors of Hangover Candle Company candles in my place. They're cut, sanded, poured, packed, and shipped all by him. And you can choose from over 200 different containers, okay, to build your candle in, and over 40 different scents to create your own smell. You can customize your own scent. Shit, man, they've got flavors like fucking root beer, apple pie, cinnamon stick, coffee, fresh cut grass, hazelnut, lavender, leather, maple syrup, peach, pine, sandalwood, spearmint, sea breeze, vanilla bean, watermelon. Go to Hangover Candle Co. On Etsy, okay? Go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co. It'll pop up the shop. And then pick your candles and then use the promo code ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. 25%. Hangover Candle Co. is on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. But again, go to Etsy, type in Hangover Candle Co., find the candles and the smells you want, create your own, and then use ALN25 at checkout to get 25% off your first order. I love candles. They're great for any occasions, bar mitzvahs, circumcisions, fucking weddings, funerals, gender reveal parties, divorce parties, coming out parties, coming in parties, coming parties. These candles are the shit, and they're my fave, and I want you guys to have them. So type in Etsy.com and then type in Hangover Candle Co. And pick your candles and use ALN25 at checkout for 25% off. All right? Start smelling better. Start looking better. Start feeling better, okay? Because everybody farts, and candles are a great way to get rid of that. And now back to the episode. Okay, so you knew you wanted to make movies. And
I wanted to make movies.
With your folks doing it, it's got to, and, you know, to that level, yeah. It's probably just, like, seems like the greatest life.
No, it was. I mean, well, it's, again, it's what we knew. Right. We grew up on movie sets, and when they were working outside of L.A., we would go with them and get tutored. And
they probably gave you advice, too, about, like, just keeping it real for you about, like, you know, this is cool where we're at, but here's, like, yeah, like, still making school a priority.
Sure. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. All that, you know. And then I went to college for a couple of years, went to Boulder.
Nice.
It was fun. That was it. I got there. The first day I got there, this guy, I was with my friend John Stahlberg. He's still one of my best friends.
By the way, I'm a big fan of shouting out full names of people on podcasts.
just in case John's listening.
What was Gilly's last name?
Can I tell you how much more?
I don't even fucking know.
Gilly the Kid.
I don't know.
Let's call Gilly the Kid, the rapper.
Gilly.
right. But just, like, if you were like my buddy John, I'd be like, this story's fucking made up. But the fact you said John Stahlberg, well, I saw the guy.
There's a reason for it, and I'll tell you.
Okay.
John Stahlberg, best friend, we're in the same dorm in Colorado, and this dude, Mike Rogers, comes over, and he's like, hey, man, Mike Rogers, and he's got this mullet, like, full mullet. There's nothing ironic about it, and it was like, hey, Oliver Hudson, blah, 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 and he goes, and John's like, hey, John Stahlberg, and Mike Rogers goes, John Stahlberg? Like, Stahlberg? And John's like, yeah. He goes, are you a Jew?
Jesus.
And Mike and John's like, yeah, I'm Jewish. And it was pure. There was nothing
malicious
about it. It was like, oh my God, like, I've never met a Jewish person before, man. I've never met a Jew. And
wow.
He gave him a hug. I mean, it was like he had discovered something for the first time. And then that night he gets drunk. and runs full speed down the hallway and slams into a door, closed door on purpose, and knocks himself out. And honestly, I was like, all right, so this is going to be fun for 2 years. I'm going to experience the dorm life, and then I'll go off campus, and then I'm fucking out of here. I was like, I knew I had to start my life. I knew that this was going to be just a fun chapter. And then I called my mom. First semester sophomore year, and I was like, I gotta get out of here. I'm literally pissing your money away.
What did she say?
She said, great, but you have to come home and work. And then I was a PA for 2 years, production assistant on a couple movies. And then I made a movie at SC in this little intensive class. And then I started to act because I needed to make money, and everyone else did it in my family. It wasn't even coming from a place of love. I learned to love it, you know what I mean? It grew on me.
It's like a dope dealer story right there. Right. I sold dope. My daddy sold dope. Yeah, my sister sold dope. I just sold dope together. Exactly. I was born into this shit.
Exactly.
It's just like that, Mike.
Thanks for the hot take, Mike.
Whatever. John Stolberg, just start following me on Instagram.
Right. Also, like, you probably had a lot of people coming at you, and how much do you balance this of people being like, yeah, you got the look, like you, and starting to project so much of like that leading man, hot guy thing that you're all, like, did it ever get in your head where you're like, oh yeah, maybe I can just get by on like my look, just doing the bare minimum and good looks, and I know I got good enough talent? Yeah. Or did you kind of?
No, dude, like I'm still in that fucking lane. That's a good question, you know, because for the first three years, I lived at home. I was just drinking and going to auditions hungover, not even reading the sides before I got in my car to go there.
Wow.
I was taking advantage of my opportunity, you know what I mean? But in the worst way. I was not taking advantage of the opportunity.
Yeah.
My foot was in the door, of course, and I was able to get these auditions, but I just didn't give a shit about it. You know, I was living at home. Everything was cake. And eventually I had to get serious, and I had to leave my house with the little money that I had. Because again, going back to my parents trying to keep it real for us, you know, they weren't just going to give you money. They weren't just going to give us money to go live and buy us a house. It was like, you earn what you earn as a PA, as whatever little odd jobs that I had.
Yeah.
I took that money and I got an apartment, and the pressure of having to then pay my own way and make my own rent. You know, within 3 months, I got my first television show because I was like, all right, I got to buckle down. I mean, if this is what I'm going to do, then I got to do it.
Was this Dawson's Creek?
No, it was before that. It was called My Guide to Becoming a Rock Star.
Wow, what a dope show.
It was that. And then I did Dawson's Creek right after that. And
he's not Dawson.
That's
no.
Who is though?
Dawson just was on Dancing with the Stars. James Vanderbeek.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Thanks for saying his name.
Yeah, yeah. James Vanderbeek. No, but that's a good question because even I'm 43 years old, and I swear to God, only in the last few years have I buckled down even more so.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I've always been a late bloomer.
Because you've crushed it, man. Rules of Engagement, Nashville, you were real good on those shows.
Yeah,
and
thank
even
you,
on Splitting Up Together,
right.
Man, real good.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I've done all right.
You can tell you put the work in. So it's interesting to hear that you're like,
I feel like
requiring
more
of yourself.
I could have been. I truly believe that if I had the drive and the passion that some of these actors actually do coming into this town, you know, I could have been further along than I am now. But that doesn't even matter because this is my path.
Yeah,
I'm a late bloomer. I always have been, and my priorities are not in my are not with my career. Honestly, my priorities are with my family and fun. You know, if I'm gonna, when I'm on my deathbed, am I going to remember a fucking role or even an award of any kind for me personally? I don't
right
give a
where
shit.
You're supposed to
I don't give a shit about that stuff. When I'm on my deathbed, I want to remember the fun times that I've had with my family and my parents and my kids.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to sacrifice that for some shitty role. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have my own way of doing things.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have started Sibling Revelry your sister Kate if you were such, like, let's say you were just biggest movie star on the planet, something like that. Like, there's no time for, you're probably missing out, on a lot of family stuff. Because, you know, I know there's always a way to make it work. But for some of these people you see on that level, it's like they're just going from thing to thing.
Yeah.
And even when their family's with them, I'm not with them.
Yeah.
So that,
no,
like,
it's true. It's really true. My parents did the best that they could because they were in the height of their career, Kurt and my mom. So it was like when one would work, then the other one would be at home.
Yeah.
And if there was crossover, then we'd go to the set here. We'd go live over here. You know, so they gave it their best shot.
As you and Kate are both kind of climbing in Hollywood and getting more and more acting jobs, do you stay in touch? Is there like competition? Like every good pair of siblings, like even my sister and I, like not being in the same worlds, but like definitely, you know, she was a little kind of more on edge and causing more drama for the folks. And then just my mom when they split. Thanks for bringing it up. And but you're split too, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you were four?
I was 4 or 5 years old. Yeah. And then things were good for a minute until I was 11 or 12. And then, you know, my dad just went on doing his own thing. And he remarried earlier and everything was working really well.
Same thing with my mom.
And then for whatever reason, shit just stopped working and he stopped being a part of our lives. And, you know, in fairness to him too, we moved to Colorado, you know, for a little bit. So he wasn't able to sort of access us and it just got fucked up. And then there was resentments and, you know, anger and all that shit.
There's no rule book.
Go ahead, Mark. Can you also just for me, for the audience too, is like the parent, like who are we talking about exactly? Because you're saying like your parents.
Yeah, my dad is Bill Hudson.
Okay.
And then, you know, my stepdad is Kurt. I don't call him dad. You know, we don't call him Kurt. We call him Pa, actually.
Right. And that
came from a moment where, you know, we had to walk this line of like, what are you in our lives? You know what I mean? And you have a dad and I'm not Kurt. You know, let's come up with a name. And Pa was that name.
I love that because I call my stepdad George. But then I started calling him G-Man because I was like, I need to call him something else that's not his first name. And then I started calling him G-Spot, and he was like, what's that? I was like, good answer.
No one knows.
Yeah. No one knows about you fucking my mom.
No one knows. What is that?
Where's the G-S?
Still trying to figure it out.
But yeah, that is a weird, getting comfy enough to, you know, put a label on it and also just, it's a sign of like respect to him. I'm sure there was at some point he's like, in it to win it and like, all right, how do you look at me?
He is a special person.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he's a special man. He raised me. He's the man. I am the man I am today because of him entirely. I was a mama's boy. I was fucking scared. I was shy, you know, and then he came into our lives and we went to Colorado and changed my whole outlook.
Weed friendly.
Yeah. Huh?
No, I'm just saying.
Weed friendly. Have you been back now since the rules have changed?
Oh, dude, yeah. We lived there. I lived there. I was there January till 2 months ago. I was there, put the kids in school there.
No way.
You know, before I did splitting up together, we were there for almost 2 years. I was like, fuck LA. We're moving to Colorado. I did little odd jobs here and there and like, you know, just little shit here and there. But I wanted to be there.
Did you dig that life?
Oh, dude. That's what I want. My goal is for this podcast that I'm doing to blow up, to make a ton of money doing it.
Tour a little with it, right?
Tour a little with it, for sure.
Is she down for that?
Oh, yeah. We're excited for that part.
Man, that's so fucking cool. I'm genuinely pumped for you, man, because that is like, again, like finding something that you guys control.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
other thing. We're in total control.
Yeah, dude. And you like, you know, you're both bringing a lot of fucking heat to the table. Mm-hmm. Like, and you have this like, you know, different angle for the pod.
Yeah.
And there's no shortage of,
dude,
you know, famous or interesting.
It's crazy.
Brothers with sisters that want to fuck you. Guests.
Every day. We it's new people. You know, what if can we get this person?
Do you have a dream pairing?
Well, I would, dude. I mean, it can't happen now. But like the princes, William and Harry would
Holy
be.
Holy shit!
I thought he was gonna say Prince. I was like, yeah, good luck. Good luck, man.
Yeah, I got the bad news.
You know, it's crazy. It's like we're because of this whole split thing. I was like, well, maybe we could get Harry now because he's trying to normalize. You know,
I think.
But I want to get the Manning brothers. I'm a huge football fan.
You are
a huge Peyton Manning fan. Yeah, so I want Peyton and Eli.
Were you at the Super Bowl when my Hawks beat you guys in New Jersey, 2013?
No,
humble brag.
Yeah. Hey, dude, that's we got one after what happened the following year. I gotta focus on the one that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We should come up with the Sklars and do a live one at the Improv for something like that.
That's a great. You know the Sklar brothers?
Oh yeah, I'm doing
Randy and Jason Sklar.
Yeah, I'm doing their podcast.
Oh great, yeah. You from the Cheap Seats?
Yeah,
yeah. Well, that's a good. You know.
Yeah.
So they're phenomenal. So when you and Kate are coming up, do you go out of your way again to like trying to question on the competition
or
are you very supportive and she's getting some opportunities and be like, yo, Oliver, this is what I'm starting to see like in the room and you're like, and here's what I'm starting to.
No, it's not very, no. And there is competition, not competition from her, but I was envious and you have all the money. I mean, you know, there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, I ask this question on our podcast all the time. Like, are you guys competitive or this, this and that? And so far, like most people are saying no. And I'm like, bullshit. I mean, come on, man, there's gotta be something there, even if it's healthy. And for me, it was not healthy. It was more of just, it was envy. It was like, you know, I'm just knowing I'm just as talented and you just got lucky and, you know, you make all the fucking money and I'm not, I'm the fucking black sheep. And I mean, I was going through that shit.
Can I borrow some money?
Yeah. I can kiss Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
I mean,
and it was just, again, me having to figure it out, you know, because that was holding me back as well. That comparing to your family, you know, how come I'm not where she is? Or, you know, how come I'm not doing roles that she gets to do or have experiences that she gets to have, you know, where I should be grateful for everything that I have because my career is fucking great, you know. But I've come to that. This was a while ago.
Right.
Things have shifted for me after kids, especially where perspectives change. You know what I mean?
To check your ego, man, and look in the mirror and be like, I mean, I think we've all done a healthy amount of it. It's what, you know, keeps us, you know, balanced as people, like not complaining about something instead of truly when you know instinctually that you need to change whatever it is, but you're just like kind of coming at the situation with like, well, fucking, well, how come I didn't?
Yeah.
Instead of like, well, how come I didn't?
Right.
And really kind
of
looking.
Well, of course. And you're totally right. I mean, I can
answer
that
question.
Weed does help
that, by the way.
Huh?
Weed does help that, by the way.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been baked and been like, dude, I got to do more push-ups, man. You know, like, I got to get that Curse membership back up, you know?
Well, they say it stimulates a part of your brain associated with empathy. Mm-hmm. So if you're smoking weed, it's hard to be mad at your sibling. Like,
Yeah.
Like, you're pretty good.
Have y'all smoked together?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But my sister's not really into weed. I mean, now and again, she'll smoke, you know?
Special occasions.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Did y'all smoke when y'all was younger?
I did together? A lot. She likes her drinks, you know what I mean? She likes her wines and she likes her whiskeys and stuff. Nice. She's not big into the weed. I mean, now and again, and it's fun, man.
And I was gonna say, do y'all have like a munchies, the food that y'all go to? Like, oh, it's time to get fucking pizza.
No.
Okay.
No, now for me, it's about just healthy snacks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm gonna get high and eat some hummus. Fuck out of here.
No, seriously, like I'm gonna get high and eat hummus.
That shit don't go together.
Like the
bro.
Worst thing of all time.
And is it me that when you get high, when you obviously you don't smoke with your kids, but you obviously take care of them when you're high.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't kids just the funniest shit?
Oh, it's the best.
It's just watching them interact with stuff like, oh, fingers.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. You know, now. You know, you don't want to get because I've accidentally been too high with the kids at night, and I'm like, okay, I was like, babe, Aaron, you got to take over. Like, I'm just, you know, I'm on
the
another
boogeyman shows up.
I'm on another level here. You know,
child services.
But
not listening.
You know, there's been articles written about how marijuana actually helps parenting.
See,
you know? And I've been reading them. I'm starting a weed line, and I've got a cannabis club that I'm trying to start in Colorado, and like a Soho house for weed. I've got a whole plan.
Dude, yeah.
I can see Oliver Kush.
Yeah.
That'd make Barry and I go, there's articles about how parenting on marijuana is better to go, and I'm writing them.
On weed papers.
It does set you into a place, you know, because especially at bedtime, right? You know, you're fucking dealing, man. It's like, brush your fucking teeth and get in bed. Da, 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 da. And you are, it's like a horrible moment, a horrible 2 hours.
Right.
You know, from six to eight, from six to eight is fucking gnarly.
Is
with
the
three
down.
Kids.
Right.
Right. So it's like, take a couple tokes and shit gets much chiller. You're just like, hey, brush your teeth. You know, I don't want to brush your teeth. Fine, fuck it. Don't brush
your teeth. 45 minutes.
Let's go.
You ever brush your teeth?
Shitty breath. Lose some.
Yeah,
don't
care.
Get
right. This is your bad. And by
cabbies.
The way, let's get in bed and let's rap about your day.
You go.
Now the kids are sort of, you know, going over what their day was and telling stories. And now you're more involved. I mean, I'm a proponent of that. I mean, I'm not saying get blazed out of your ass, but just if you smoke a little bit and put your kids to bed, it makes life just easy.
Oh, and the bedtime stories. The first few times I started telling my nieces bedtime stories when they were like 5 and 6, the twin girls, and a few times it happened when I was a little high and I didn't know I was going to stop by, and I did. And my sister was like, you read them a book. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to just fucking like make one up.
Mm-hmm.
And I started improvising this thing. Dude, they, to this day, they're now 10. Still, every time I'm over, if it's late enough, and they're like, we took us in, and they go, can do it to be continued on the story?
Totally.
I told them when I was 5, when I was high as balls.
Yeah. There
was this whole thing about like a bubblegum fucking king that was like, oh, I mean, it was crazy.
I'm sure you did voices too, right?
All the voices, dude. Like, I'm up here in the bubblegum king. And they're just like, holy shit, this is,
this is amazing.
What are you doing?
Right. No. I know.
It's still popping. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, look, people go have a whiskey or a glass of wine before any, or to wind down. Yes. The stigma is it's not as crazy, but it's still there.
Yeah,
you know.
You played poker professionally. Yeah. Still do. You did the World Series of Poker.
I did. No, one time. Okay. That was a horrendous moment.
It was. Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus Christ. I mean, when I was playing poker a lot at that point, and it was the first hand.
Talking about pressure.
First hand of the World Series of Poker. It was shuffle up and deal. They sang the national anthem. Shuffle up and deal. Pop, pop, pop. First hand on national television. Gone.
Fuck.
Gone. It's still one of the bad beats of all time. I mean, you could type in Oliver Hudson bad beat. And it's horrendous.
Did you even say
still to this day, I get people coming up to me and they're like, pocket tens? I'm like, fuck yeah.
You get heckled?
That was 2005.
After one hand, though.
Because I went all in. Everything went in. Everything went into the middle.
Oh,
on the first.
You get a set amount of money.
Yeah, you get 10,000.
Okay.
At the time, you got 10,000 chips.
Well, I respect the move.
Well, if you look at the hand, there's not a lot that you can do, you know, when if you know poker and you look at the hand, and especially who I was playing against, this guy Sammy Farha, who was a pro, a pro, but I knew how he played. He was pretty fast and loose, and I was gonna bust him the first hand.
Yeah.
And then he flipped over. It was fucking.
Do you still play like casually?
No, I'm done.
About like Uno or Go Fish?
Yeah, Uno with the kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's the shit.
Uno, I love Uno.
Still looking for a competitive Uno.
Dude, I still play. I gamble with my children. So you
put
know,
the baby up.
Huh?
You put the baby.
That's right. Yeah. I'll raise you my son.
If you raise my son.
Right.
Exactly. I'll raise you, you raising my son.
No, but we'll play like Sorry and all these games for money. And my middle kid, Bodie, loves playing for money.
First of all, I love that fucking name.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it like? It's a small bills, obviously.
Yeah, but sometimes I'll be like, you want to go fives or you want to go 20s? And he's like, oh my God. Because, you know, he does chores. Kids do chores and they make money.
Good.
You know, they
dig that system.
Yeah.
But chore money, 2 weeks in.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, you could double up right now in a week.
He's like,
right,
can I get a 1 month advancement? Yeah.
But he's like, I don't know. I'm like, it's up to you. And he'll throw it in and it'll get, yeah.
That's fucking dope, dude.
It's fun.
That
it's
really fun. Makes some of those games a lot.
It is fun.
It's probably why, as an adult, you gamble on certain sporting events because you're like, it actually gives me a reason to pay attention, right?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. I mean, put any that's another parenting tip. It's probably, again, not a great one because you're gambling
with your kids,
kids. But you know, add some value to the game.
1,000%.
First of all, it changes the way you play with your kids a little bit, and I think it also gives your children a little bit of juice. You know, you're like, okay, I want to win. There's more of a competitive spirit there,
and it's something that you're doing.
Hundreds on Battleship.
It's also, again, like they're not anything you're doing with them that's fun and adding juice to the activity, and they're not locked in the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that a bad thing?
Yeah,
this is how the Trumps did it. Look how well adjusted they are.
That's true.
they brought him downstairs. Like, you want to, do you extend him credit too? You go teach him about despair. You know,
play spades?
No.
Okay.
No.
We don't learn.
That felt like the end of that friendship.
Yeah, I never learned.
Mike waited 40 minutes to ask you that. He's like, please tell me he's a spade guy.
Also, let's do a little intervention on Mike. Mike, what's holding you back from crossing your legs right now?
What do you mean holding me back?
Yeah, three great conversation, three guys with their legs crossed, and you're sitting there like that. What's holding you back?
I got my legs crossed, too. I got,
no, you don't.
I got crossed at the ankle. No, did it.
Got
it's crossed at the ankle.
No, it wasn't.
Ankle crossed.
I just did it now. I saw it.
Oliver, we do a segment on the show where we kind of break down the silly. Look, there's a lot of bullshit news out there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories I think that people don't seek out and aren't aware of.
Yeah,
and we like to break them down and talk about them together as a group. In a segment we like to call "Wait, huh?" All right, so let's, first of all,
okay.
Super Bowl yesterday.
Yeah.
Did you watch?
Of course, yeah.
Did you?
I didn't have much skin in the game because, you know, it was a good game.
A good game. I think it
became a good game.
Yes.
You know?
At the half, I think a lot of people were like, dude, this J-Lo and Shakira performance now has a lot of pressure riding on it.
Because yeah.
if the game ends up staying as neutral as it is, like 10-10, and it just was a very football game. Where
yeah.
it was like, somebody scored, and then there was a stop. There were no big plays,
yeah.
really, and Mahomes hadn't kind of
yeah.
done a Mahomes-type play yet, but I thought it was great. The halftime show, I want to know, first of all, your take on it after we watch it.
Okay.
Because it's already getting some slapback, some clapback.
Is it?
Yeah, there's the moms of America are putting their foot down, and look, I guess we can see Adam Levine's nips,
right.
but...
No shake your bum bum, huh?
Right. No shake your bum bum. Mark, give me a little taste of this. All right, that's good, Mark.
J-Lo's my girl.
So look.
Oh, my
You're
God.
A parent.
That's my number one, and ooh. She's 50.
J-Lo?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I did two scenes in Second Act, that movie she did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I took a red eye, and Pete Seagal, who directed Tommy Boy, 51st yeah. Dates, the man directed that and kind of knew him, so he threw me a little bone. I get out there, hadn't slept, get on set. It's like 8 a.m., and he's like, Jennifer, this is Adam. He'll be in the scene with you. She goes, oh, hi. And she goes, how do you know Pete? And I'm just like always thinking joke, like mm-hmm. the kind of, especially with somebody like that, mm-hmm. just to kind of, but you know, sometimes you should probably think
yeah.
fully through what the joke is
yeah.
before it gets to the mouth part of your face.
Yeah.
And I go, she goes, how do you know Pete? And I go, we used to fuck.
Oh,
and then there's
damn.
Just a beat. And she goes, kind of just does a smirk.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, you know, that was odd, but not so, I'm not above finding the joke in there.
Yeah.
There is one.
Yeah.
And then Pete kind of laughs and then kind of hits me and goes, Jesus, man. And then, and I go, no, I'm sorry. And then I start to feel like I need to reel it in.
Right.
But then I'm like, no, why don't I double down? So I go, no, I'm just kidding. We still fuck. And then she laughs.
Yeah.
And then she goes, nice to meet you. And then, I'm like, all right, cool.
That's good.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But, she's the real deal, man. And at 50, so all these moms, yeah.
What's
coming
happening?
Out.
Right.
Mark, go back to the bowl real quick. Well, the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Obviously, you saw a lot of provocative
yeah.
booty shakes.
Yeah, yeah,
at
yeah.
one point, looked like they were dry humping towards each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, it's such a spectacle. I think it's tough to really have those sexual moves be the headliner of this performance, but.
I don't know. I mean, if you don't like it, then take your kids out of the room.
Yeah, turn it off.
You know what I mean? That's
it's an
where
easy
I'm at.
Fix. What's that, Mike?
No, I'm just saying it's 15 minutes long and they just weren't about that little shake.
I know, dude.
Yeah, I mean, but there was other stuff in there. I mean, there were moments where I was like, whoa. I mean, the outfits that J-Lo was wearing and the ass to the camera, you know, it was almost like her vagina was so thin.
Oh, I thought at one point anymore. She was just going to be like, if Janet can do it, so can I.
Right, I mean,
it was that.
You know, I was like,
yeah.
oh, there was some stuff in there that I was like, oh, but I mean, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But. I'm if you don't want your kids to watch it,
yeah.
then just take them out of the room.
Yes.
If the performance starts and you're like, uh-oh, that's too provocative, then take them out of the room.
It's like being in an elevator and somebody rips a bad fart and you're like, oh God, cover your mouth or get off on the next floor and don't wait till the 21st, get off on the 15th.
The other thing too is if you don't know what J-Lo and Shakira are going to do
right.
in the halftime, on the halftime of the Super Bowl.
The biggest stage
in the
world.
Then you're an idiot. Yeah. I mean, let's
that's
let's
what the
get
NFL
real.
Paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
the NFL paid for
let's
them.
Let's get real for fucking, a second.
To mime almost scissoring each other. That's what Roger Goodell is like. You better fucking almost scissor. And
right.
like, can you phrase it differently? You know we're going to do it.
No, but you know, they're not going to be clothed
no.
and singing ballads.
No.
You know, right. they're going to be shaking their shit. That's who Shakira and J-Lo yeah. are.
See, I thought I was going to be better at. I actually was in a Pilates class.
Oh, for this?
During the Super Bowl. So I thought I was going to see a lot more. I'm mad I missed the damn halftime.
It was not bad. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I mean, I thought they did a great job. I mean, it was.
I think you always got to go pop star, man, because you get that spectacle. 50 dancers, the lights.
It was cool.
When it's like Maroon 5, which, you know, I'll fuck with some Maroon 5, but right. like.
Not
I don't
Super Bowl
know.
Halftime. I like Maroon 5 a lot. But yeah. Super Bowl halftime is for like.
You can't just have a guy fucking like.
I think Timberlake did well.
Yeah, yeah, again, pop, you yeah. know, moving, using the stage.
And then Beyonce.
Doing this, mm-hmm. Beyonce always, right? Yeah. Although I would like to see a complete throwback and then just have them say, fuck it. Billy Ocean, Gin Blossoms, mm-hmm. fucking Vertical Horizon, mm-hmm. you know, just a 90s throwback of who's who, how'd they do that.
They're actually saying that this is the best Super Bowl entertainment from beginning to end, including the halftime show, because the game was so good and then the halftime was so good.
I agree.
I guess in the past, it's been like the halftime's been great, but then the game wasn't. But they right, said yeah. this is their best, actually, Super Bowl.
I did hear a spike in Pornhub for Latina category search.
Is that actually
that's
true?
That's actually true, yeah, yeah.
that I can is email. So funny.
Because it's start going yeah. right on to Pornhub. It's like, Latina.
That's yeah. funny.
There's people in like, the rednecks like, maybe we should let him stay now. Like,
no wall. We don't need a wall.
exactly. Tear down the wall.
Tear down the wall. Yeah. Make it a glory hole. All right.
I'm sorry. All right, so that's obviously a more current story, but let's dive deep into the stuff that people don't know about, Mark. What's our first one we got?
First one. This is a job that we could all do if our entertainment careers don't work out.
Villagers in India dress up as bears. scare off more than 2,000 monkeys.
Yeah.
Shit. Is there a video to accompany this?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah, is it? Oh, man. Oh, I'm so excited. Because I got a lot of questions, man.
Right. Monkeys can't smell fear, right?
Yeah, but also, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we got a 20-second ad here. First of all, how expensive are you going with the bear suits?
Right.
You know? Because my mom bought me an owl costume for Halloween when I was in the second grade. She was like, I let my mom pick my costume. She's like, yeah. you know, single mom, just trying to figure it out. She's like, you're going to go as an owl. I was like, I thought we were going Power Ranger, Ninja Turtle, but all right, like, let's roll the dice. I trust you, mom. You're doing this by yourself. But it wasn't like... And by the way, me saying owl is trying to just peg it to a creature. It was just a random ass bird, not
right,
big bird, not
Tweety. Right, right.
Somebody's this random fat kid in a bird suit that's just like, you know. And I was like, hey, I was trying to play with like the kids who were dressed up as pirates, and they're like, you can go fucking be on watch in the tree. And I was like, that's fucked up, dude. Yeah. look at these costumes.
Look at those. Well, first of all,
terrible.
I don't know. Why can't they just run after the monkeys in their normal human skin? Wouldn't they scare them away as well?
Yeah. They're ashamed of who they are.
Right. You know, these monkeys are probably just like, we got to get away from these people. They're dressing up as bears. They're on drugs and shit.
Yeah. That's what makes them finally leave. <Totally. laughs>
They had to be high under them.
Facing monkey menace, villagers get under the skin. Yeah. They had no choice. Who's this guy that's quoted? Villagers donated, scroll down, Mark, donated money to buy three costumes.
Three?
Yeah, right?
From a makeup artist for 1,700 Indian rupees.
This is the next movie, 300. It's just like three people versus 2,000 monkeys.
Right. Now, is it like statistically proven that like only you don't need many bears to scare off 200 monkeys?
I guess. I don't know. Are they the natural sort of predator?
Yeah.
You know?
Couldn't you tell from the way they were running too that like that's not how bears run?
No,
they don't go roar.
No, well, it does. First of all, it doesn't even really look like a bear. I mean, it's just
they should have hired Rick Baker. It was terrible.
The Forest Department told villagers that a lack of funds has prevented them from doing much about the exploding monkey population. Can you imagine? We don't deal with that really in the States ever. There's never dude, squirrels are about to take over if we don't do something about it. Like, there's never this growth in creature. You know, existence.
Well, look at this.
I got a lot of roaches. But
catching a monkey would cost 600 rupees, which is $8. And the last time we got funds was in 2018. We had to call in a rescue team from Mathura.
I smell charity gig. Let's send these people some dough.
Seriously.
Oh,
why can't they?
Go fund me, bro.
Hey, guys, it's Adam Ray taking a quick break from the podcast to tell you about BetterHelp. Now, look. Life is full of ups and downs. There's always something that can get in the way of our happiness, and you need some way to talk to, right? I know for me, with my own issues in life, whether it's career-oriented, family drama, having somebody to talk to helps, and I don't feel like burdening friends or significant others with that info, okay? You need somebody with a neutral playing field and someone with a clean slate to come in and listen to what's going on with you, and that's what BetterHelp is for. I've used them. They're phenomenal. What they are, okay, is a online counseling resource, okay? Video chatting, texting. It's basically connecting with a professional counselor. Again, somebody that is unbiased and coming in that is a professional to help guide you with whatever's going on in your life. Privately online, okay? So it's convenient. You can do it at your own schedule, all right? At your out of your own home, which is great. A lot of these places, you know, you need to go somewhere. It takes time out of your day. Maybe it's too far away to go to where you really want to get to. This is out of the comfort of your own home. You can schedule a video or phone session plus chat and text with your therapist, who are all licensed and specialized in things like depression, stress, anger, LGBT matters, grief, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anxiety, family conflicts. I know I've dealt with a lot of that in the last few years. Anything you share with them is confidential. It truly is a pretty phenomenal resource that they've created. And these counselors, there's over 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states. And four communication modes, again, text, chat, phone, and video. And if you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, request a new one. No additional charge. Because it's all about finding somebody that relates to you, you feel comfortable with, sharing the info that you'd like to get some help on. It's available on desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule your video and phone sessions, generally a week out, which is, you know, great. I think that's enough time for everybody to get their shit in order. And there's a broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, which is huge. Again, it's secure, convenient, professional, and affordable, which is kind of the biggest thing. A lot of people can't scrounge together the coin to even get this type of help, but it's super affordable. And best of all, right now, ALN listeners, that's right, you guys, if you need help, you need somebody to talk to in any of those areas I mentioned, depressed, stress, sleeping, trauma, family, anxiety, go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and simply fill out a questionnaire, and you can get 10% off your order. That's huge. betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Fill out the questionnaire that helps them assess what kind of help you need and what kind of counselor you're going to love, and start getting the help that that we all deserve. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight to get 10% off your first order, and start connecting and living better, you know, because that's what it's all about. All right? Back to the episode. Wait, what is this last line? Last year, a farmer in Turtahali in the state of resorted to painting his pet dog with tiger stripes to protect his coffee shop from thieving monkeys.
Oh my God. You know that dog's like, yo, I didn't sign up for this. I know I'm a rescue, but this is fucked up.
Well, are monkeys protected? I mean, they must be, right? You can't kill the monkeys. Maybe.
PETA.
By the way, I love that his coffee crop. I read that at shop. I had a whole different line of questions being like, what pastry are these monkeys fiending on? They're like, give me a fucking small latte, and this time hot, Daryl.
Coffee shop.
Or I'm taking it next time. All right, next one. That's great.
Totally. Okay.
I also love a good bear costume. This teacher had to tell her deaf students that people can hear farts.
What?
Their reaction was hilarious. Holy shit.
That's amazing.
Anna Trupiano is a first grade teacher at school that serves deaf, hard of hearing, and hearing students from birth through eighth grade. In addition to teaching the usual subjects, Trupiano is charged with helping her students thrive in a society that doesn't do enough to cater to the needs of the hard of hearing. She had to teach her students about a rather personal topic, passing gas. A six-year-old child farted so loud in class that some of their classmates began to laugh.
The deaf kids?
That's...
No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, the deaf kid farted.
I was going to say that's a loud one.
No.
No.
No, I think that... Wait, what? The child was surprised by their reaction, so they didn't know...
Farts make a sound. Yeah. Wow. Holy shit, what a beautiful place to live in.
It is.
But also, that's mind-blowing, dude, because how much has this kid been dropping those
and has
everywhere?
No idea that he's just blowing it up.
Wow, and then somebody
has his bliss.
Yeah, no.
Also, that's almost like telling a kid that Santa doesn't exist. Let him live in this world of make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're telling him, like, you know, you fucking, you know, we're letting a couple slide, but, like, dude, you need to start getting some maybe less fiber in your diet.
This could have opened his whole world up, though. You know, yeah, now that he knows it can make sounds and he can feel it when you thrust it out, he's like, oh, I don't care if I can hear it now or not. I have a weapon.
Yeah. I'm going to let a little bit out now, but wait.
Right. I know what I can do now.
Yeah, what did she say at the bottom? Scroll down, Mark. I would love to see a world where my students can learn about anything from anyone they interact with during the day. Well, that means learning about the solar system, the candy options at a store, or even farts. I just love that all those three things are kind of in the same sense. The solar system, you know.
By the way, that's butthole triggers. Great. That's great.
It is. I mean, I applaud this.
It's a good thing. You know, also, everyone should learn about what about farts.
Totally. Yeah. It's also just a teacher like taking an interest in the in the kids learning about things aside from solar system. Like, you know, she's like, look, you got to know that sometimes. You know, someone's going to fucking call doorknob on you. And if, you know, and
I would rather know that my farts make noise than where Jupiter is.
That's fucking incredible.
There's the new most popular class at Berkeley is actually called just adulting. And you can't get in it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. They just try to teach you how to like, look at, because they're like, look, we're not doing calculus fast as we know it. We just need, and they're like, oh, that's right. We're not preparing these kids with like actual life skills. This is a life skill. I wouldn't call it adulting, but.
Right. What is adulting?
Adulting is just like. How to properly balance your checking account, how to find an apartment, how to get along with people at work.
Sounds like growing up.
Yeah.
Right.
Just growing up.
Sounds like something you should learn as you get older.
Right. Here's the complete opposite of what we just read.
Right.
Next one. Okay. Boom. Florida man known for viral Easter Bunny brawl arrested after hit and run. Tells cops to Google him.
Don't you know who I am?
I mean, that's, by the way, I love the Google me defense. I don't, we don't see enough of. Okay, so he's, is this the video? No. So he's dressed.
Commercial.
Arrested as the Easter Bunny. By the way, the amount of like, how do you feel about when like there's guys like Santa fights? Obviously there's, you can go down a YouTube rabbit hole of people in costumes getting in brawls in public.
Yeah.
It's always funny, but then.
You remember this. Like
I'll turn the volume up, Marky.
We got music behind it.
One thing gets walloped and by hopping that.
Drop bombs on him. Drop bombs on him.
What the hell is this?
Round and pound.
Apparently, fight began when a man bumped into a woman.
Mount.
Police officer then jumps in to break up the brawl. The cop didn't even touch the rabbit.
Wait a minute. Was the bunny protecting somebody?
I think so.
His basket.
Wow. His basket. Did you
that
see him?
That is amazing.
Bumping and shaking. He was like getting up. He's like ready for round two.
Bunny shuffle right there.
No, the guy wanted to get out of a charge. So he said, oh, you want to arrest me? The hero who saved the day in an Easter Bunny costume. He tried to get out of it by saying that. Remember that viral video? That was me.
Okay. So
he wanted some good karma.
So the Easter Bunny, the guy, has since been arrested and said.
And he's like, Google me.
Yeah, Dilly.
Like, Google me. Tell me if bunny fights don't come
things.
Up.
I'm doing good things for the community. He's like the next Marvel superhero.
Right. Yeah,
this is called Even Stevens.
I got a new movie coming out with me and Black Panther. Linking up.
Have you ever had to take a gig where you dressed up in any sort of? I dressed up as Superman once for a kid's birthday party. Mm-hmm. This is my like 2 years into stand up when I was just like looking for cash, and it was on Craigslist where I found it. It was $100, and some of the dads got real fucked up at this party and started like jabbing at me. And I was 2 years into stand up, so I started to like have enough confidence to like to be on stage and for longer than 10 minutes, but also like start to have a little bit of understanding of like, oh, these are hecklers and. And you start to develop this like, I don't have to take this.
Yeah.
And I tried to be in character and then started kind of slamming some of the dads, one of them who was particularly fucked up. And then he got in my face and I held my ground and I go, you really going to beat up Superman in front of kids? And then he got real close and then the dad came over and he was like, I think you better leave, dude. I go, you're kicking out Superman? I go, what about Gary? He's like, I've known Gary for a long time.
Kneel before Zod. Get out of here.
You never told me this? You were working the party as Superman?
Yes. This is before, by the way, before I got a job at Universal Studios playing Wolverine in the park.
Nice.
So it was destined to.
You went from Superman to Wolverine.
He's like, fuck DC. It's all about Marvel, baby.
Oh my God. From Craigslist Superman to theme park Wolverine.
And everything in between.
But did you ever have to or know people that did it?
No, I've never had to. I've never had to dress up in
would
it.
Would you want to?
Like that.
Yeah. Who would you want to be?
Oh, man.
Villain or superhero?
And then who would you want to be recorded fighting dressed as?
I don't know. I would probably, I think Aquaman.
Okay.
I'll be Aquaman.
I love that.
I'm an ocean guy. I want to live at the bottom of the sea.
There you go. That's very deep of you right there.
Yeah.
We got to wrap this up. Okay. This one we'll read real quick. Yeah. Rescue owl found to be too obese to fly.
Oh. Damn.
Wow.
Fuck, dude. I thought owls didn't have anything to really be concerned about.
No.
It turns out this soggy little owl was found in a ditch.
What is it? Is that the, how much it weigh?
Yeah. 245 grams.
Look how probably. Ashamed he is. He knows he's being fat shamed.
Yeah.
He totally
it looks like
is.
A mugshot.
It does.
And profile shot.
Would you ever have an owl as a pet? Anybody? Owl as a pet?
No.
No.
Fuck a bird.
By the way, they found this owl in the wild and they found him in a ditch. Like, oh, he's hurt. They go, no, he's just too fat.
Wow. What is he?
They found a possum that was too fat to get away because it broke into a pastry spot in Australia. It was too fat to leave.
Oh,
they found him right
that.
There. Was all, you saw that?
Came through
he,
the roof.
Yeah, he came through the roof and just ate all the pastries, and the people came in the next day and say, oh, there he is. Try to scare him away. He was like, I'm too fat. I can't go to work.
Dude, we don't worry about fat animals. They're like fat kids. We think they're adorable. And we're just like, ah, they'll figure it out. Right? Like, you look at that owl, I'm like, dude, eventually he'll fly enough miles to drop a couple LBs.
But I wonder how he, what he ate, because, you know, usually, you know, you look at an owl and they have to forage at night. They have to eat. It's probably not the easiest thing.
He ate two rats.
But I guess he found a jackpot of some kind where he was like just grinding on things.
You know what's funny? Because I've read, this is actually a female bird. It just says right here. We're assuming that it's a guy.
Right, yes. There we go.
Oh.
She's a chick. She probably just had an emotional day.
He could have swooped in on the deaf kid's backpack and just taken it away. Maybe it was filled with snacks. Okay.
He has to get a running start to take off the flight.
Totally. Wait a minute.
Oliver, you're the man.
Dude, thank you.
Thanks for being here,
this
dude.
This was fun.
So Sibling Revelry. I'm saying it right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Available on all all the audio
all
ways.
It.
Is it video up too, right?
No. We
post some clips on Instagram.
Yeah, we put
and stuff.
Clips on. We do film the whole thing. We might figure out how to do something with all that later.
So people would like to
it's good.
You guys jamming. And that comes out every what?
Every Wednesday.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. It's cool, man. We got some fun ass guests.
Yeah, dude. I really can't recommend it more, man. I have such a small circle now of podcast. It's one of those things. It's like, you know, I'm sure even in the acting world, in the comedy world, like when we're doing it so much, it's like you get very picky about what you want to watch. Like it's tough for me even to watch specials sometimes because we're just living it so much and you're like, dude, I want to break from it. But you guys really got something special.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Guys, Peanut cool. Gallery.
Thank you, boys.
Thank you.
Mark,
that was fun.
What
that was really fun. Nice
was that?
What we're doing?
No, we're just saying hi.
Yeah. We're right? starting over.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah.
Got it. Website, markscomedy.com. My social media is on that.
Oh, yeah. Follow me at The Real Mike Jones. The Real M-Y-K-E Jones. Who? Mike Jones.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just Google Mike.
Yeah.
That's fucking super confusing.
Now, Oliver, you're going to think that I'm making this up because I just want to be on the podcast, but Mike is actually my full brother.
Is it?
We'd like to come on.
Full blood.
Brother from the same mother.
That's racist. That's it.
See you next week, guys. Good night.